Welcome to the experience.
Left channel. Right channel.
Welcome to the experience.
Left channel. Right channel.
Hi, this is Mark, and welcome back to the Candle Shore podcast. This is show number 7. It had to happen sooner or later, so here it is. I'm starting a series of shows on dating. But this is part 1, and we're entitling this one, Where It Begins. Before we get started, let me just say this. Everything that I'm referring to has to do with men dating women and vice versa. I don't want to get into the issues of gay and lesbian issues. When I say partners, I'm referring to husbands and wives. In fact, I may use that those terms, okay? I'm in California. But just to get it clear, I'm talking about simple, traditional relationships. My intended target audience, I guess, for this series is people between the ages of really 25 and up. I hope I have some younger listeners, but quite frankly, the things I'm going to say have to do a lot with self-awareness, and for most of us, I believe it's 16, 17, 18, early 20s, we don't really know ourselves well enough. So for those of you who are younger, hopefully you'll get something out of it, do the exercises that I suggest. But again, some of it may seem overwhelming to you, so we're looking at 25 years and up, okay? I suppose I have to give you some information about me. I must admit, when people think about dating, some people get this thing like, oh no, I've done it too many times before. I don't think many people look forward to the idea of dating because you have to tell the same stories over and over about your past. You have to ask the same questions. But that's certainly part of it. It's no different than a job interview in a sense. We all hate looking for new jobs too. But it is part of the process. And as all of you know, there are tons and tons of books and how-to books and shows and talk shows about dating. Hopefully I'll be able to put a different spin on it to make it a little unique for us. And certainly I'm going from personal experience and talking to friends and family, all kinds of things over the years. So let's jump into it. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not exactly sure, but I should tell you that I've spent most of my adult life dating women. Some people, certainly in the old days, certainly from in the South, they may meet one person when they're 16 or 17, get married and right out of high school and then stay married for 60 years. That doesn't happen a lot anymore. It's certainly not in this country. So, I have been fortunate enough to be, I'd say very lucky when it comes to dating, meeting a lot of nice women. One could argue, well, if you've been that lucky, why aren't you married? I have been married. I'm currently divorced, which may make you think, you want to take dating advice from a divorcee? Well, I think it's a good idea to in many ways, because I certainly am knowledgeable about the dating scene, certainly as it pertains to people in my generation. So I like to think I've learned from my mistakes, and hopefully you will too. I think that in order to be successful in dating, finding a new partner, you really have to like the members of the opposite sex. And I know that may sound funny, but I've seen so many times when men and women have been hurt in the past, disappointed, they become somewhat jaded, and they really have a basic mistrust of the opposite sex. And I think we're going to have to let that go to be successful. Because when you start with a basic dislike or mistrust, it's going to permeate everything that you do and think. And sooner or later, the person or people that you date will feel it. You may not articulate it, but it comes through. And I'm telling you that most people, very few people, really don't want to start out a relationship being convicted of something that they haven't even done. And I think sooner or later, that negative feeling that you may have will cause the relationship to go south much, much sooner than it would, or even that it may not have if you hadn't felt that way. So I really think a key ingredient to successful dating is to truly like or trust the members of the opposite sex. Step one. Step two, I think that's important, and I'm not going to do this by steps. I don't know why I said that, but I kind of thought it was kind of funny. But you really need to do some self introspection. You need to do some introspection about yourself. You need to determine if, in fact, you're physically, mentally, financially ready to date. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean you have to be the president of a Fortune 500 company? Absolutely not. Does it mean that you have to have a perfect figure, or for men, you know, an outstanding physique? Absolutely not. But it does mean, from the physical aspect, you need to like the way you look. I really think that that's a key ingredient to being successful, is when you look in the mirror, you should basically like what you see. No one is going to be completely, totally happy. Certainly as the older we get, you know, we see some wrinkles here, things sagging there. I'm not talking perfection here. But I do think that you need to think of yourself as attractive, even if you don't want to admit that to other people. It is important that you like the way you look. I think sometimes when people start dating, start looking for potential partners, they're really wanting someone to make them feel good about themselves. That really is a very hard and high price to ask someone else to pay. And I think it's very unfair to ask someone else to do that. No one can make you like yourself. Obviously, we do like it when people like us. I'm certainly not trying to minimize the importance of having positive feedback, but it is absolutely important that you prepare yourself to be in the right place when you begin, when you start dating. I hope that makes sense. As far as financially ready, again, not a Fortune 500 president. On the other hand, you do need to be self-sustaining. No one, male or female, wants to be or thought of that they're being kept around or needed for money. I'm not talking, you know, quid pro quo, you know, where, you know, I'll date you if you buy me a nice necklace or something like that. It's very rarely is it that blatant. But I hate to tell you this, but I've gone out on many, many dates with women who were literally, and I didn't know this at the time, living out of their cars. They had absolutely nothing. And, they kind of wanted me to rescue them. And I no longer rescue damsels in distress. I'm going to steal a phrase from Dr. Laura. What is she says? When you rescue a damsel in distress, all you end up with is a distressed damsel. And of course, that works both ways. That goes, you know, for you ladies, finding guys who are climbing out of their mistakes, putting their life back on track. You need to find guys who are ready to move forward. And again, you need to be self-sustaining, whatever that means to you, because I think really all of us, we want someone to want us, not need us. And there's a big difference. I would much rather be wanted than needed. Because quite often, if someone needs me, sooner or later their needs may change. And most often when that happens, their expectations change. And then they may not need me anymore. And I don't think anyone wants to be used. So you want someone to want you, not need you, and vice versa. Keep that in mind. It's important. Under the heading of being ready to meet someone new, I often say that, you know, you really should not, no one can rescue you from your life. Certainly I've had this problem in the past of seeking damsels in distress. I've paid a very high price for it, wasted a lot of time. I don't have any children. Children are not part of my ethos. I do love children. But you know, it's very complicated when we get into the area of single parents. I'm not going to make any strong comments on this. I do agree, again, taking a page from Dr. Laura's book, I do believe that dating when you have young children is somewhat risky, given the level of child abuse and things of that nature. She honestly feels that when you have young children, that you should wait until they're up and out of the house. I tend to agree. Let me just say this. I personally, rarely have I dated someone with minor children. I have at some points in my past, and you know, I would recommend against it. It's complicated, and I absolutely adore children, but it most often it tends to be a bit unfair to the children. So, you know, I know I got a lot of people who are going to get mad at me and say, well, you know, I can do it. My kids are almost grown at 12. They can take care of themselves at 13, 14. I don't know. Again, I'm not a parent. I can put myself in the mind of a child very easily, which can't be anything really good, I guess. But I don't think I'd like to share my parent with a stranger. Sometimes I think, and this has certainly been the case in my past, when I did date women who had younger children, you know, they would want to introduce me to the kids very soon, and I would say no, because I didn't know how long the relationship was going to last. You know, we're talking the first month or so, and I think that's way too soon, because you don't want to bring various people in and out of children's lives. Children, especially from broken homes, really have a need to bond, and so unless you're sure you're going to be around for the long haul, you shouldn't allow a child to bond to you, because when you go away, when you move on, it takes something, a part of that child with them. So you need to consider your children and people with children before your own needs. If you know someone, and I know a lot of females do this, if they see a guy with a single parent who's a guy, you know, he's got a child, they may want to be provide a home for that child. That's fine, but if you're going to do that, really be around, you know, prepare on being around. If you can't say that, then I think it's definitely best to hold off on meeting the children. But so I'm not really going to get any further into that, but typically, I would think it's better to wait till your children are older before you start dating. Let me just say, well, I have heard this a lot. Women say, well, you know, and men, they say, you know, I need to have a life outside my children. I don't know. To me, you know, the children have to come first. And as a product of a broken home, believe me, I think that sacrificing a few years for your child is the best sacrifice that you'll ever make. What is the term they use now? Blended families. I do know some couples who have gotten together with and blended families, kind of like the Brady Bunch scenario, and they make it work, and I admire them for it. I really, really do. But I think a lot of people, you know, especially if they're not financially secure, it can cause more problems than not. So I'll let everybody decide their own fate in this. So that's my two cents on that. Let's move on to the next thing, which will be, and I really mean this, I want you to really listen carefully. To be successful in finding a life partner, to me that means marriage, by the way. I don't believe in life partners. I believe in getting married. Maybe it's just a Kentucky thing. I'm not sure. But I do believe that the basic ingredient is that you have to like yourself. So really think about that, okay? That's important. I want you to get excited about the prospect of meeting someone new. You know, your attitude is everything. If you go into any situation with the idea of, oh my God, it's not going to work, I'm going to meet a bunch of weirdos, where do I begin? I guarantee you that you will cause that to happen, you know, the self-fulfilling prophecy. I want you to get excited. I want you to start daydreaming about the possibilities of falling in love and meeting the right person. You got to get yourself in the right frame of mind. It's no different than, you know, football teams, baseball teams, performers. They all get psyched up before the performance. You got to get psyched up, ready to go. You need to put yourself mentally and emotionally in the place to receive love and to be loved and to give love. I know that sounds like, you know, maybe I have been in California too long, but I got to tell you, there's some truth to that. So I want you to get excited. Start daydreaming about it. It's going to work for you this time. Another important thing to do here, and I want you to do this, is you need to know what your end goal is. And you need to admit that to yourself. I have dated so many women who wanted to get married, but they would never tell me that. I'd say, you know what, I would ask them, and we're going to talk about this in another part of the series, about conversations on a first date, and I'd say, well, you know, what do you want to be the result of this? best case scenario. And again, you know, I live in Southern California, and in this part of the country, marriage is a dirty word. I'm blessed, though, to be from Kentucky, where people pretty much speak their minds. And I've always told females this, women this, you know, I'm dating because I'm seeking a wife. I want to get married. Which, yeah, whenever I said this, then they all say, oh, me too, that's what I want. And I'm always amazed that, and a little suspicious, because it seems to me, and I understand that women think that when, you know, if a woman says, I want to get married, that that's going to send a guy the other way. Well, frankly, you know, if a guy's going to run the other way, or in some cases a female, if they're going to run the other way, away from you, after you tell them what your goal is, better let them run now than later, after you've invested time, energy, and emotion. So, get it out there, you know, but you have to admit it to yourself, what you want. Some people just want a popcorn partner. I mean, they just want someone, and there's nothing wrong with this. They want someone to just share the afternoon with, go to the movies. Some people, although I find this hard to believe, but there are people who are just out there seeking sex. So if that's what you want, you know, that's most likely all you're going to get. But usually, usually, whatever goal you set, you know, that's what you're going to end up with. So you need to keep your eyes on the prize. And if in fact you want to get married, which I really do believe is the best possible of all scenario, best possibility of all scenarios. I'm a big fan of marriage. Then that's what you will get. If you set your goals, I'm going to say lower, because to me anything less than marriage is on a lower level. That's what you'll end up with too. So, you need to be true to yourself and determine what it is you really want. Once you've defined that, you will be amazed at how easy it is to project that. So, determine what you really want and what you want to be the result of dating. The next thing I want you to do is to write down 10 things you like about yourself. Really that simple. Write them down. I don't mean just list them in your head. I mean write them down. And then I want you to write down 10 things that you think a partner would like about you. They may be close or similar, but they shouldn't all match exactly. There should be some, 3 or 4 of them should be a little bit different. And it's important that you understand what it is that you're bringing to the proverbial table. You know, I'm always amazed that people talk about what they want in a partner. I want someone, I mean, I'm just giving you an idea. He says, I want someone who's going to cherish me. I want someone who's going to love me. I want someone who's going to treat me with respect. I want somebody who's going to travel with me. It's always about me, me, me. I want you to focus now on what other people like about you, what you do for other people, what your assets are in a relationship. Come up with 10 of those. That's important. You should know what they are. I also want you to think about the following. I want you to make a list. Now, listen carefully. I want you to make a list of what you don't want in a husband or a wife. Again, I'm assuming that you're going for the big goal here. I'm going the big guns here, you know, marriage. This is what I'm going to assume, because that's the hardest of them all. Don't focus so much on what you want. I think sometimes when people focus too much on what they want in someone else, they cut out a lot of people who may have things that they never considered. But it's more important to decide what you won't accept, what you don't want in a potential partner. For me, that's a very short list. And by the way, I think for most of us, it's a shorter list than what we want, because sky's the limit when it comes to what we want, right? For me, for example, I would never date anybody who does drugs, period. Illicit drugs. That's just the bottom line. Or who drinks in excess. You know, that's just not going to happen. I don't date people who smoke. Period. I don't want that. Are there nice people who smoke? Absolutely. Could I find a really nice lady who smokes? Certainly. But I guarantee you, I'm not going to be happy with it. So that's on my list. You can't be afraid of eliminating people. So it should be core things. For me, this has never been a big deal, although for some people it is. It could be about how much money they make. Be careful about that, because I don't necessarily believe that money is a barometer of one's character, and that is also true of education. I don't think it's a true barometer of you know, measuring someone's intellect. So be careful. I know, especially, I don't have a lot of guys, but I know a lot of ladies who say, you know, I want a doctor or a lawyer, which is great. I mean, and as parents, we all want that for our children. But in reality, there are really more important things than a profession, unless you have a problem with a specific profession. In my case, for example, this is honestly true. I would never date anyone who is a burial director or we call them undertakers. I don't know. I guess they're called funeral directors now. I wouldn't do it. It's one of those few things that Mark Taylor can't deal with. I wouldn't date an actress. Wouldn't happen. Especially if they're working in Hollywood with all this, in my opinion, smut scenes that are going on, kissing a bunch of strange people and everything, and, you know, one could argue, well, Mark, you know, you need to be more secure. Maybe I could, but I am who I am, and it's not going to change anytime soon. And I don't want to date anybody who's sitting there kissing people and touching a bunch of men that, it's just not my thing, you know? Those of you who can do it, fine. So I have a list of people and things that I don't want. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know? We all have a right to what we want and what we don't want. So make that list. Make up a list of characteristics that are deal breakers. Absolutely not. I know some people who, again, you know, they can't stand children. So for them, having children, certainly minor children, would be, even a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old, would be an absolute no-no. Another one for me, just in case you're interested, Mark, is snakes. I have a phobia against snakes. I've met a couple of ladies in my lifetime that, you know, we had one or two dates, and they told me they had a pet snake, and it's over at that point. No way. Even having a snake in proximity of where I am really sends me into orbit off the chart with fear. So not going to happen. And while some people, and I want you to be careful about this, understand that you can't force someone to change. You have to accept them as they are, but they have to accept what you are too. So keep that in mind. We'll talk more about that in a different part of this series. But make that list of things that are deal breakers that you will absolutely not accept. Okay? Next thing I want you to do is to admit to yourself what you find attractive and what you don't find attractive. You don't have to write this down. For me, it's simple. I think, certainly where I live, there's this philosophy that if you don't like something about somebody, it means that you're small-minded or shallow. I totally disagree. I think we like what we like. Now, if you're being unreasonable, you're going to have a smaller pool of people to choose from, and you have to adjust that as you get older. But you really do have to admit what you find attractive and what you don't. In my case, for example, again, I'm trying to let you know that I certainly do these exercises myself. I don't like short hair. I don't like short-haired women. I mean, have I dated women with short hair? Absolutely. And as I've gotten older, I realize, you know, okay, there's some pretty short-haired women, and short hair is certainly not a barometer of one's personality. But from an aesthetic point of view, I love shoulder length and longer hair. It's the way it is. I've had a lot of women tell me, oh, that's shallow, you're a shallow man. Maybe. But for some reason, I'm happy with who I am. And I like looking at a lady with nice hair. What can I say? I'm not ashamed of it. It's the way I am. You know, weight for me is not a huge deal. There are some people I know, women and men, that anybody who's even 10 pounds overweight is unacceptable. I like just a little heavier. I live in California, a bunch of beautiful women here, and I feel blessed to be around them. but the truth is, weight is not that big of a deal to me. That's not to say I want to date somebody who's 5'1" and weighs 800 pounds. Let's be reasonable, you know. But, so we all have our thing. Admit what your thing or things are. I don't date people who wear rings in their nose or who have tattoos. It's not going to happen. And that's, you know, it's what I like. It's what I don't like. There are people who, you know, certain women who wouldn't want to date me, I'm sure, because I think on a good day I'm like 5'10", well, really 5'9 and a half. But there are certain women who only want guys who are 6'1" or 6'2". That's okay. That's their right. That's okay. No problem. So own up. Be, you know, personal truth. Let's go back to that. Personal truth. Determine, decide, and own up to what you find attractive and what you don't. This is going to work. I mean, I'm excited about this series of shows, and I hope you're excited to listen. And, you know, again, for those of you who are already married, maybe you'll get a kick out of it. You can pass it along to people that are looking for the next Mr. or Mrs. or the final Mr. and Mrs. Right. Okay? The next part of the show, we're going to talk about where to meet people. That's a very difficult subject. We all have a problem with that. You know, even for those of us who've done all these exercises, the next thing comes up is, you know, where do I find somebody? Where do I meet someone? Especially, and, you know, for people who are low vision or have any kind of physical challenges, that can be a problem. So we're going to talk about that the next show on this, in this series. I don't know if it'll be the next episode of the program, but certainly part two will deal with that. I hope you find this helpful. You know, my name is Mark Taylor. You can subscribe to this podcast. I keep wanting to say blog. You can subscribe to it at feeds.feedburner.com/candleshore. Check out the website, www.candleshore.com. You got the blog, of course, at www.candleshoreblog.com. And, of course, my email is musicman@candleshore.com. Remember to make a joyful noise this week. Do these exercises. I think you're going to benefit from them. And I'll see you back here next week. Take care. Bye-bye.